Oh, it's Alexander's back.
Where is she? Which one?
Are we live?
Mike James?
Hey, guys. Hold on. Let's get our stalker out of the chat. Hey, guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And before we get started, please don't forget to support us with a like and a subscribe to our channel. The like helps us get this live into the algorithm. As you guys know, we are 100% Patriot funded. No Illuminati, no lizard people. So we strongly depend on you guys to help boost our content and get it out there so more people can hear about Mostly Peaceful Latinas.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we weren't here last week, but we've got a jam-packed show. I survived food poisoning, guys, so I'm okay. But we do have a jam-packed show. We're going to be talking about the toxic derailment that took place in Ohio, the U.S. Virgin Islands releasing emails between Epstein and a J.P. Morgan executive. We're going to be discussing the Tate brothers getting set up. We're going to be discussing George Soros' soft endorsement of Ron DeSantis. And actually, the one I'm most excited about today is the setup of the Nick Fuentes smear campaign. That's going to be an interesting one because I feel it's something that many of us can relate as we've seen these practices take place online over the last few years. And it's been interesting to kind of get a look at behind the curtain of how these things are put together. But before we get started.
Alex Jones was right. And the water is turning you gay, it's turning the frogs gay, but we have a solution for you. We have a solution for you, and that is our sponsor, Sentry H2O. If you've been watching my stories, if you've been watching my Instagram, I've been talking about Sentry H2O. It's a Patriot-owned water filtration company out of Arizona, okay? It's an under-the-sink system, simple, 10-step process. It takes 15 to 20 minutes to install. Amazing, amazing Patriots. And Sentry removes all of the toxins out of the water that are making the frogs gay. Fluoride, which is classifying your pineal gland, and that's why you have really, really dumb people nowadays. Chloride, arsenic, and more. But aside from that, Sentry remineralizes your water. So once it removes all the toxins, it's going to add things that you need, like magnesium and calcium. And it's not just an amazing system for all the things that I just told you about, but it's also affordable, right? Because we had a problem with trying to find something that we can actually afford at $279.99. And then if you use our code MPL10, you get 10% off and you get to support a Patriot-owned business made in the USA. Shout out to Nelson because he's a great guy.
And also support us in the
process, absolutely,
right?
You get to support us for sure.
Sentry believed in us, so why not? Yes. All right, guys. So where do we start? We're going to start with the Ohio derailment. So I'm sure most of our viewers tend to follow alternative media, so I'm sure that many of you have actually heard. But for those of you that do not know, it's about to be 2 weeks already. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, there was a train derailment that took place in East Palestine, Ohio. This train was filled with toxic chemicals, and these toxic chemicals have now been released into the environment of Ohio, where citizens are being told that they are safe and that there's nothing to worry about. However, there's very alarming things going on. Amongst them is the fact that there seems to be a lot of secrecy surrounding exactly what chemicals were in these train carts, what dangers they could potentially present to someone. So not only is that information being held very tight chest, aside from that, it seems like there's been reporters that have tried reporting on the news story and have been arrested as a result of it. So there's definitely an effort to slow down the sharing of information when it comes to this incident that took place in Ohio. So we want to talk a little bit just kind of our thoughts on
the whole
that
situation, and how they're blaming it on Trump, how the Biden administration is actually refusing to send the people of East Ohio any help. We just saw that before coming here. Mm-hmm. Some of the videos that we found on TikTok, on the internet, what some of our friends are saying, like Inform with Anthony. And yeah, just give you our thoughts on that. I just want to put here on the chat really quickly. Hold on 1 second, guys. If you want to just Bella. Hold on 1 second, guys. It's funny. I guess our stalker is back.
Shocker. Welcome back.
Welcome back to our stalker.
For those female of you that are stalker, unaware, Linda and I are gang stalked on a regular basis. Doesn't matter
by
what
a crazy,
platform we're on.
Crazy woman. And she refuses to leave us alone. Nobody understands why. She doesn't want to leave us alone, and it's a really weird obsession. She watches everything. I think she has a lesbian crush on me, honestly.
I think it's on you predominantly.
I really think that she's a lesbian that's obsessed with me, and she wants to have sex with me, and I'm like, I would never, because I'm not a lesbian.
And if I were,
I would never date someone who is that ugly and also loose, you know, because the porn and the whole stripper situation is just not nice. But with that being said,
let's go back to Ohio.
Angel, put up that first image from Ohio. Look at this blast.
So this is the part that's actually terrifying, is that they're trying to write this off as it's no big deal, right? And I don't know, guys, that looks pretty much like a mushroom cloud, which is what we've been taught to look at for a nuke. And I guess that's the conversation I've actually been having with Natalie. If you guys don't follow Natalie Denise, you should. She's been doing great coverage on the developing story, as well as our boy, Anthony Cavazas, has also been doing great coverage on it. But one of the things that I mentioned over to Nat, does the image look blurry on your computer screen, or is it just mine?
I think it's just yours.
Okay, then it's just mine. One of the things that I was discussing with Natalie is that this isn't the only train derailment. So this is just the one that mainly people are talking about.
There's six.
There's six. There's one in South Carolina. There's one in Louisiana. In fact, even here in Miami, not a train derailment, but I'm not sure if you saw that the derail... It's in Doral.
Yes, the garbage thing went on fire this week because my friend was in a group chat. So we have like a garbage mountain here in Doral, Florida.
What do you call that? Like a landmine? Is it a landmine?
A landmine, yeah. And it went up on fire. And my friend was actually worried because they decided to build like multi-million dollar mansions very close to that area.
Oh, it's right across the street. Literally, these people bought these million-dollar properties across the street from this landmine where their view is this beautiful trash mountain. And now this thing has caught fire. There's toxicity all over the air. Mind you, it's a few blocks away from the Trump Doral. It's not that far away from Trump Doral either. But again, it almost... Somebody in the chat just mentioned the movie White Noise, which I actually watched last night. This movie came out last year and basically very much mirrors the situation that we're seeing in Ohio, where it's a train derailment in Ohio with toxic chemicals that go out into the air and starts affecting people. People say like the conditioning and these people go through sometimes, the bad guys will plant into our TV or movies to kind of give us an idea of what's coming. And this movie, White Noise, mirrors it so closely.
Oh, the one from Netflix, right?
Uh-huh, the one
allegedly,
from Netflix.
There is a show that predicted this. It's like predictive programming. I haven't watched it. I think your husband was watching it last night.
The White Noise one. And it predicts, it really breaks this down completely as it's happening right now, which is so terrifying.
I think with this whole situation, what we're seeing is that once again, they're trying to blame the situation on Trump, even though Trump's a private citizen who's not in office, who's not in charge of our transportation department. You have Pete Buttigieg. Is that how you say Pete Buttigieg, who basically was chosen for the role because he's gay and not because of his experience, not because he should actually be there, but simply he was a diversity hire. And now one of the things that he said today, which is kind of scary, is, oh, you know, I understand that this means the media, but you shouldn't worry. We have about 1,000 train derailments per year. That was his response. Now, we've seen from Instagram and mostly TikTok that residents are actually capturing videos of their dead pets, their dogs, their chickens, dead fish. There was also a very scary video where a woman throws a rock at the water, and then you see all the chemicals coming up from the water. The water is clearly completely contaminated. So, Angel, can you please play that video so they can see?
Even though the media is refusing to cover it, there's a massive environmental disaster currently unfolding in Ohio. A train that was carrying extremely toxic chemicals derailed over in the city of East Palestine. And in order to avoid an uncontrolled explosion, the Ohio government decided to set these toxic chemicals on fire preemptively. But while this might have averted a massive explosion with shrapnel flying everywhere, it did not avoid the release of toxic gases into the air for several days on end. Gases which included vinyl chloride, hydrogen chloride, as well as phosgene, which is so toxic it was used as a chemical weapon in World War I. And despite the fact that the local officials are saying that everything is now fine and telling people to come back home, the footage from the ground shows a much different picture. You have dead fish in the water, dead chickens in the coos, you have dead dogs on front lawns, people getting nauseous and sick, and the entire city smells like chlorine. But despite all this, the media is refusing to cover it. What do you think is leading to this media blackout? Leave your thoughts in the comments and subscribe for more.
Yeah. Someone said in the comment, this is a situation where masks, gas, and N95 would actually help protect people. I don't know if that would, to be honest. I mean, possibly some sort of protection. But we're talking about very dangerous chemicals, like the guy mentioned there, I think it's like vinyl chloride, which can potentially kill people. And somebody had a conspiracy theory earlier on Instagram that a lot of the population in Ohio voted Trump. A lot of the population happens to be mostly Republicans, mostly conservatives. And so their conspiracy is that the Biden administration doesn't want to help them because of that. Now, I'm not saying that's what I believe. I'm not saying that's true. But that is something that people brought up into the conversation.
How very
today.
Unlike you.
I mean, it is.
How very unlike you to consider the conspiracy side of all.
You never know.
Well, dude, I mean, I do have to wonder. Somebody else did say in the comments, they're like, illegal chemical mushroom cloud. That's literally illegal in warfare.
Yeah.
But it's just standard in Ohio right now. And to me, the crazy part is how dumb they think we are, where they're telling residents, just go home. There's nothing to see here. It's like all of these chemicals are not, I don't have to be an biologist to know that if all of these deadly chemicals just went up in the air and are in my water, that it's probably, even if you try to convince me that it's not a big deal, maybe I'd believe you. Yeah. 3 years from now, I don't think I'd believe that it's no big deal right now, just as the event happened. So you have to wonder, is there, I guess the conspiracy theorist in me wonders, are we getting nuked? Like, is this all coordinated to informally nuke us with falling short of actually dropping a nuke on us? Is this like a way of attacking?
A lot of people have put the same thought that we are possibly being attacked. And I mean, how would we know when we're under an illegal occupation? And well, it's legal, but when we're under an occupation of people that truly hate us and they could care less. I mean, they don't even want to send help to Ohio right now. So how would that work? You know, how would we know? I do know that there was somebody else I read on Twitter. They said that they work for a hazmat suit company and that they had gotten direct order from their boss's boss to produce more of these hazmat suits because something big was coming and they weren't told what it was. Whenever these situations happen, I feel like a lot of these narratives go up online about things that are supposed to happen or not happen. So we'll see how that transpires, but let me see. Let me look at some of these comments. I want my country.
Hey guys,
back.
Don't forget to like this video and help us out. We are 100% self-funded by you, so super chats are always welcome, encouraged, and appreciated.
Absolutely. Kissimmee had a fire today. That's the other thing that we saw. I didn't really look into it, but there was also a fire that released a bunch of chemicals over in Kissimmee. I don't know if you saw that today, Bella.
I didn't see the one about Kissimmee, but I feel like I'm kind of getting overwhelmed by it because I don't know if this is standard and we're just now overly cautious of it. So people are looking for news stories revolving like these toxic fires or these derailments, or if there truly is a rise on. I don't normally track these things, so I don't know if it's something that I don't know if this is normal and just something that we're paying attention to. Yeah. But I don't trust shit these people do, and I know that they don't want us chilling.
They definitely don't.
We know that this is the kind of thing that they might. I don't put anything past these people. These are the same people at the Tuskegee. So, of course, they'll try anything.
Yeah, it's interesting. Guys, please use the super chat at the end if you guys want to ask us any questions, comments, and that would help us out. Moving on, we found some very interesting documents on Twitter about Andrew Tate. So Andrew Tate has been in jail for the last couple of months, maybe like 2-3 months, accusations of human trafficking, women trafficking, and there has been a lot of speculation that he is being set up. There's other people that say that because he converted to Islam, the Roman Catholic Church in Romania is actually targeting him. We're not really sure what's going on, but new released documents have been posted on Twitter by his manager, and it's basically text messages or WhatsApp messages between the women that allegedly he was trying to, or whatever, the women that are framing him, right? Or the women that are alleging that he committed some crime. So, Angel, can you please put that up? Yeah, we're definitely...
Yeah, and we're going to have to read some of these out because you guys are not going to be able to
look at them. So breaking, wiretaps revealed that both the U.S. women and UK/Moldovan women planned to frame the Tate brothers. And so Bella is going to read a couple of the things that it said, but basically they're going back and forth about rehearsing the lines, laughing, saying, I can't read the small font. Hold on 1 second. But also... In the meantime, thank you so much, Hablando Como Los Locos, for your contribution of 1999. They say we're definitely under attack. Thank you, ladies, for your hard work. Thank you. We really appreciate you guys. You know, Bella and I talk about how Instagram is not fun anymore, how we don't get a lot of joy out of it, especially since she's been banned and the app has slowed down a lot. So we really like coming to YouTube and doing the show. We actually missed out. She was sick last Thursday. But it actually gives us... something to look forward to on Thursdays, right?
The only thing I look forward to in this clown world anymore is hanging out with you guys on Thursdays. Yeah. Guys, so let me read a few of this to you. So just kind of like a conversation. They're in a group chat, and this is kind of the back and forth that's going on. Angel, do you have me here? All right, so... There's a couple of different characters on the conversation. One character tells the other one, I practice. The other one says, perfecto. Just play it cool. He's like, I got it. Act like you don't know. Play dumb. I'm going to pull some tears. Like, they're setting this entire thing up. She's like, yeah, just play dumb. Thanks for the good advice. Thank you, babe.
Yeah. So I've always thought I was always the person that... was on the Tate Brothers side, not necessarily because I think there's some sort of like role models for the world or anything. I do agree with a lot of things that Andrew has to say. But because to me, how do they go so many years, right? Because they were part of that business a few years ago. They haven't been doing that for quite some time, especially since he has his Tate Academy and he's gotten all these other sources of income through content. So... how is it? It's kind of like the people, the women that accused Donald Trump, mm-hmm. like literally when he started running for president.
Correct.
And they went 30, 40, 50 years without accusing him. Like, I think Trump is still going to battle Jane, whatever her name is, like the crazy lady that says that she got raped by Trump. That was already dismissed. So she's bringing the case up. So to me, it's like you wait all this time to come to the police and try to frame the Tate brothers or try to go after the Tate brothers. Like, how does that make sense? It's almost like they saw not just the fame, but the money that these brothers mm-hmm. have behind them. And now they want to take advantage of that situation. Tell us what you think on the chat.
So I'll tell you my perspective on the red flags that went off immediately is that Romania is kind of known for being a hub for human trafficking, mm-hmm. right? So it just seemed to me like it's known that human trafficking is this thing that's overlooked in Romania, but yet they bring down this iron fist on the Tate brothers because realistically, even the charges of the trafficking were more based off that the guys had made empty promises in order to coerce the girls to go over there. Mm-hmm. Like, where are the people that have entire brothels filled with underage girls where tourists go in to, you know, have relationships with these women? Like, when I think of sex, it's not to diminish if any, I guess we know right now that there might not be validity to that, to the charges brought up against the Tate, and it wouldn't be to diminish that. But it is alarming to me that in a country like Romania, that the focus isn't on catching, like, big actual traffickers that are trafficking women across country lines, right? Things like that. So this like iron fist type of judgment against the Tate brothers was alarming to me because it just didn't seem like standard coming out of the Romanian judicial system. And I think it was Andrew or the brother, I'm not sure, who had actually made comments that they were already being persecuted mm-hmm. by the Romanian government. Yeah. So to me, it's the inconsistency that kind of like raised a red flag for me mm-hmm. where if they don't have the same kind of action towards the average sex trafficker in this country,
yeah.
why Tate with all of the press that he gets and all the attention that he has? And I think that it goes to say a lot that we do live in a system that, particularly a judicial system, and it seems like it's a global problem, not just an American problem, that tends to lean towards women and is dismissive of men. And, you know, it's something that we've even seen locally happened here. A woman can just decide for absolutely no reason at all, maybe because she's crazy, maybe because she's gotten shock therapy, maybe because she's whatever it may be, that she's going to make an accusation on a man that was didn't pay attention to her, or a man that left her, or whatever it is, make an empty accusation with no real proof and have it still create enough of a disruption in that person's life where it affects the way that they're living.
Right.
And the judicial system is completely leaned towards catering towards these women that maybe have these, like, you know, they could lie and create these sob stories. It is one-sided.
Yeah, we actually know of women who have lied about their ex-boyfriends wanting to kidnap their children and insane stuff like that. And then they get temporary injunctions and then they have to go through the court process to be able to fight these allegations. So it's very unfortunate that we live in that society. And look, we get it. Like, there are men who abuse women, right? This happens. But it's going to come a point where no one's going to want to back you up if you are just lying, like straight up lying. And I think that eventually we need to take this further. Like, we need to be able to punish. We've talked about this.
Absolutely.
We need to be able to punish these women, right, legally, who use the system against other individuals who mm-hmm. create false accusations. It just happened to a football player yesterday. Thank God he was freed of all charges, but he was he had rape allegations. His entire life and career was going to be ruined over this one woman who was, lied and said that she was raped by this man. So yesterday the trial happened. The guy is free. I forgot his name right now. But yeah, that's definitely not cool. Let's look at some of
these. Yeah, it's just unfortunate that it seems to happen on a regular. And you look at somebody like the Tate brothers, and here's the thing. You never shake that off.
No, never.
Once things like that are out, like in just like general news cycles, like you'll never be able to shake that off. You can't take things like that back. So now forever, the Tate brothers will be known as the sex traffickers, despite there not necessarily being the adequate proof there to back that claim up.
Yep. Have you heard of a football player from Buffalo scared to admit what caused his heart issues in December?
Yes.
Damar, right?
Yeah. So I actually saw the interview, and I'll say this. I actually saw Officer Tatum's take on it, and that seems to make a lot more sense to me than he's just scared to talk about the shot. It seems like to me there may be some kind of lawsuit taking place, and for legal reasons, there's certain topics that he's staying away from talking about. We don't know who it is that lawsuit could potentially be towards. Maybe a pharma company, maybe the helmet company, maybe the team. I don't know. But it does seem like what yeah. he's his holding back has, what he's holding back seems like there could be legal ramifications to it if he was getting ready to sue someone.
Right. So I think this is kind of my problem with the doom and gloom conservatives online. You guys know that I've been very frustrated with these people. I have not been shy from my criticisms of them, of especially the influencers. And I showed Bella this week a conversation, a private DM that I had with one of my followers. She actually has autism and high functioning autism. And she DMs me one day and she's like, am I going to die because I took the you know what? And now I'm scared because I see all these posts and all these narratives. And it's kind of why I've shied away from trying to put that fear porn into people. Like both Bella and I and the majority of you know plenty of family members, I'm sure some of you here, who got this product, right? Who maybe had to do it for traveling, for work, whatever it was. Maybe you were coerced into it. Maybe you were scared. Maybe you believed the hype. Who knows what it is. But we do want to make sure that we're not driving fear, anxiety into our followers, right? Like I'm sure if I was posting about this and sensationalizing the whole situation, I would be getting likes and I would be getting comments, but I can't do that, right? And I've always been like this. If you go to my profile and you scroll back on my highlights, you are going to find a highlight that says mental health from 2020. That was 3 years ago. And I talked about it during the pandemic. And I said, influencers have a responsibility to not drive fear into people, right? That's why, even though my account is not growing, I've stayed away from the doom and gloom because it's just too much. I've spoken to some of my friends, right? Jordan Sarmo, he hasn't posted in 3 months. Aside from the fact that he's been a little bit busy with work, he's also like, everything is doom and gloom,
yep.
Right? So if we sat here every single Thursday, right? That's why we try to make it fun and engaging and talk about other stuff and bring pop culture, because we can't sit here every single day and put into your psyche, right? It's very, yeah. It's very important that people understand the power of the mind, the subconscious. And if we do that, that's going to put fear and anxiety into you, right? So the whole thing with basically assuming that every single case of these football players or whatever happens to be from this particular product. I'll tell you guys what happened to me when I was in high school. I think I told you that. My boyfriend in high school had a terrible football accident, right? This was in 2006, and we were at our homecoming game. I was actually across the street from Publix. I got a call from the assistant principal asking me, where can I find Ryan's parents? I said, I don't know. They should be on the way to the game. This was our homecoming game. The parents were going to go. I can't find them. Ryan had an accident. I'm thinking to myself, Ryan broke his leg. Ryan broke his arm. Something like that, right? Like football accident. You think a bone is broken. This guy tackled someone, fell on the floor, started having seizures, and had to be airlifted to Jackson Memorial Hospital. If you get airlifted to Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami, you know you're basically dying. Like, you know it's a serious thing. And so I remember back then that there was a lot of talk about the helmets and the football players, how they didn't care about these kids, how so many of them would go and play with aneurysms. When you get like a bruise in your brain, concussions, and you're supposed to heal. Concussions like a bruising in your brain, but they don't care and they keep putting these players out there. So we truly don't know. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm not saying that it is, because I've had that experience with my ex-boyfriend, and it had nothing to do with
football,
stuff like that.
Football players get hurt all the time. I think it's just a desire of people to want to have the bigger conversation. But we do fall into the grounds where now, because we don't know, then we're left to speculate. And I think that's the issue, right? Because there is no one openly talking about the negative repercussions that came with taking it.
Right.
Then you're only left to assume when you see somebody drop dead or pass out.
That is just that.
Or have that. That's what it is. It's the lack of conversation that increases the speculation, but it's also the increased speculation that increases the conversation, which is a conversation that we've never had more amplified than we do right now. So for all of you guys that feel like this isn't being acknowledged and this is the worst thing that's ever happened, I get you. I understand when you first start digging into the damage of just shots in general, it can become extremely overwhelming and enrage you, where you feel, how long has this been going on? How can we have been lied to like this? But
also
from people that have been having this conversation for a long time prior to 2020, I can assure you that if you talk to people who have been fighting this fight for longer than that, they will all tell you that never before, ever in the history of ever, has the conversation
of this
around
juice,
the juice, safety, manufacturer liability, testing, that conversation has never been had before. And it really needed to happen. It really needed to happen because the casualties that we're seeing from people that lined up to take it are not new.
Yeah.
There's always been casualties to every juice, whether they're mortal or not. There's always been casualties, and there's never been talked about like we are right now.
So, you know, the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine is a, you know, we can't say specifically what it could potentially cause, but it has always been a very controversial pharma juice for reasons that I you know, I guess we could probably do this on Rumble one day. But as someone who is in the medical freedom, who's still a medical freedom advocate, guys, I mean, let's take a look at SIDS. Let's take a look at the U.S., that has the highest rates in the modern world, right? In the modern countries, in the first world countries, of sudden infant death syndrome. So what does that mean? That means that your baby goes to sleep at 6 months, 7 months, 9 months, before a year, and that baby never wakes up. They can't find a reason why. They don't find a heart failure or any condition at all, and not even suffocated or anything. They just come in, the paramedics, they take a look at your child, and they say, cause is unknown. And
we're ¿Qué pasa, el desgraciado?
So when you have, when we've been having this for a very long time, it was normalized, right? Why is that happening? Oh. Sorry, it was normalized, and now they're trying to normalize the same thing with the adults, right? And we just do not know exactly how certain pharmaceuticals affect people based on the products you take, based on your genetics, right? So it's definitely a conversation that we should probably have in another episode, but it has to be on Rumble. So maybe we have a special edition, right?
We'll have a special edition to come on Rumble.
Yeah.
Moment of appreciation for our girl, Stacey Valerdi, who always takes care of us. Stacey, thank you so much. Once again, guys, your support is so appreciated because we really don't have anybody else to depend on but you guys. So thank you for that with a $50 donation and $75 from Adam Silva saying, thank you, ladies, for always speaking the truth and calling it like you see it. So good to see Bella back behind the mic. So happy to support. Thank you so much for always coming through, Adam. It's really appreciated.
Yeah. So, guys, moving on. Angel, now you can do it. Like, you almost killed
Pasen desgraciado.
What was that? El desgraciado?
Yes.
Cuñón.
This is our disgrace of the week.
Disgraced of the week.
Do us the honors, please. Do us the honors.
Disgraced of the week. Guys, so the U.S. Virgin Islands that has an ongoing investigation cases against Jeffrey Epstein and the sex trafficking of underage girls has just released email communications between Epstein and a former high-level J.P. Morgan Chase executive, where basically they are having a detailed conversation about the exchange of young girls.
Yeah.
So in these conversations, he's basically thanking Jeffrey Epstein for the night out, telling him that it was very fun, that he enjoyed the company of the young lady dressed as Snow White, that the next time he would like to have a young lady dressed as Beauty from Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, so these very awkward conversations, there's no denial. Here's a picture that you guys are going to see on the screen. Here is the executive. And shoot, where's my email that I have with all of our notes? Blah, 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 blah. What's his name, Jeff?
I have it. His name is Jess Staley. Staley.
Just Staley. So Mr. Just Staley, if you're seeing him there, he actually had to step down of his position with JP Morgan Chase and move on to Barclay because of the scandal surrounding Jeffrey Epstein. He actually had to step down from Barclay in 2021, again, surrounding this this scandal. And I think it just goes back to the conversation that we haven't been having for the last 3 years, which is that Epstein didn't kill himself and that he didn't traffic kids to nobody. There's not somebody named Nobody that got trafficked to. There is there's list of very powerful people, influential people that were involved in the trafficking of minors and in relationships with Jeffrey Epstein, including our former president, Bill Clinton, who was at Little St. James Island over 36 times on Jeffrey Epstein's private plane. But that's a conversation for another day. And we don't have that information. And it's kind of okay.
And can I tell you guys something about these cringe influencers from Twitter that you guys know I hate and I talk about? Last week, I swear to God that I wanted to scream out of my building because they bring back the whole Jeffrey Epstein conversation. I'm talking about people like Mike Cernovich, the ugly Malaysian guy that you guys know I hate, Ian Miles Chung, some dude that doesn't even live in the US. And they're basically trying to say that Trump was part of the whole situation. This has been debunked 1,000 times. We know that Jeffrey Epstein used to be a member of Mar-a-Lago. We know that once Trump found out that he was hitting on a 14-year-old girl, he was kicked out of Mar-a-Lago. We know that Trump was the only celebrity or famous person, whatever you want to call it, who spoke to a special prosecutor when the whole case was going on back in the day. But somehow, some way, the people that are not pushing for Ron DeSantis 2024 are trying to incriminate former President Trump or President Trump as a member of this pedo ring. They're basically saying that 7 more trips have been discovered in the Lolita Express. And then when you go down to what the article actually says from the Daily News or the Daily Mail, whatever, It literally tells you that these trips were from Palm Beach to Newark. One of the times, I think he was with Marla Staple, his wife, and I think Tiffany Trump. And so none of them going back to Pedo Island, to Little James, right? Little St. James Island, I think it's what it's called. Right, it has correct. Another name, but I forgot right now. None of them going back to that. But of course, these influencers, these grifters, these people have to somehow, some way, lie and manipulate the narrative pretty much worse than the left, right? Speaking of Mike Cernovich, I caught something this week about him, which is that he's trashing Trump all day, calling him old. He's even talking crap about the blue dressing at Mar-a-Lago, which we've had, and it's actually spectacular. It's a delicious
the salad dressing.
He's
fam?
Talking about no, the salad we'll dressing go. At Mar-a-Lago,
the
dude.
Salad dressing?
I can't, dude. Like, I wanna, I swear to God,
bro,
like,
I hate it.
These are like,
you know,
fighting words, bro. Like, these are fighting words. Like, it gets me hot just to, like,
you know how ghetto you have to be to make commentary to criticize Trump by criticizing his salad dressing.
Yes, yes. He's like, oh, like that disgusting salad dressing from Mar-a-Lago, blue cheese. Like, somebody go check on the old man. And I'm like, bro, you're just pissed off that your wife is not hot like Melania. She's some like whatever chick, that you're not famous. And guess what? I go to Amazon to find that Mike Cernovich was selling a Trump How to Become MAGA or the Best of MAGA. So if you go on Amazon right now, today, as you are on this chat, you can go see that Mike Cernovich was literally trying to sell you the MAGA mindset. That's what it's called. Just a few years ago, and it's still on Amazon. And this is what I tell you guys. It's not that I'm a cultist. It's not that I'm obsessed with Trump like people think. It's that it pisses me off that you're grifting off this man still to this day, still to 2023. And all you do is go online, go on Twitter, and talk your shit, and nobody holds you accountable for it. But I'll tell you this, though. On Saturday, I woke up and I sent Bella a thread from a liberal. And it was such a funny thread. I wish I would have posted it here for you guys to see. Maybe I'll share it on my story later. But it was basically a news analyst, like a liberal news analyst on Twitter. And he's like, I don't know why, but I like Trump supporters more than I like DeSantis supporters. And it was, I mean, people were just going off in the comments, right? And it's like I've said before, a lot of these people are coming off as very elitist. I'm better than you. You guys, you know, insulting Trump supporters, insult not just Trump supporters, insulting the left, insulting this. And so they're not appealing to people, right? There's a whole narrative that Trump cannot appeal to the left. Trump can't appeal to the moderates, independents. We know that's not true because he gained 11 million more votes in 2020. But now these people that want us to join their fight into supporting DeSantis are becoming such insufferable little bitches that no one wants to support him. How cringe do you have to be for the left? For the left to think that you are worse. I mean, they hated Trump supporters. They're going to hate you more. They hated us. And now they're like, wait a minute. I think I like Trump supporters.
I think I like Trump supporters.
And that's what they said. Like, I think I like Trump supporters. And you know, it was pretty surprising to see the comments on the thread saying like, oh, you know, they're just like misinformed. Like, Trump supporters aren't bad people. They're just like cute hearts, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, you know, MAGA was all about love. MAGA was all about love. But speaking of Ron DeSantis, Angel, can you play us this very strange tape from George Soros talking about DeSantis Trump today? Let's hear it.
24 is that Trump and Governor DeSantis of Florida will slug it out for the Republican nomination. Trump has turned into a pitiful figure, continually bemoaning his loss in 2020. Big Republican donors are abandoning him in droves. DeSantis is shrewd, ruthless, and ambitious. He is likely to be a Republican candidate.
So that is George Soros.
Poniendo a dormir a la gente de aquí.
George Soros. We actually debated whether to post the clip or not because he's basically like a corpse and you can barely understand him. But Mr. Soros had a few things to say about Trump, how he's losing it. And DeSantis is, I guess, going to be the nominee because of X, Y, and Z reasons. Now, of course, we're not saying that this is a direct endorsement to DeSantis, but it does bear the question of why Mr. Soros, along with the entire establishment, are so afraid of Trump, you know, so afraid to have Trump back. We've seen the articles, even Political this week had an article saying that the GOP is already colluding to get rid of Trump and MAGA. We've seen how so many people, including Jeb Bush, are trying to use Governor DeSantis as the replacement for Trump. I know that there's a lot of discussion of the influencers and people online saying DeSantis is not establishment. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think this man, DeSantis, was a bad guy or someone that had evil intentions. I mean, I don't know him like that. But I do think that the establishment will pick and choose who they want as their next puppet.
The selection process.
And this is who they are getting behind. So,
all right. I got a theory.
Okay.
I got a theory. I'm just going to put it out there. No, baseless. So please don't come back to me and be like, you said that so-and-so baseless. But here's a theory. The party goes through all of their measures to push out Donald Trump from the GOP and elevate DeSantis. And Trump says, F you, and runs third party America First against DeSantis. And we actually see a DeSantis. How exactly does that work? Like, in final election, we'll just see DeSantis, Biden, and Trump on a ticket?
It's possible, but I just don't think that DeSantis can actually gain that much support at all. Like, I don't know how they're going to finesse it.
Precisely why.
They're going to have to finesse it in a way that it's going to look real because he just doesn't have that support. He doesn't.
But they are finessing it already.
The majority, they are. They are.
They did it with the super landslide win in Florida. By the way, elections can be rigged on both sides. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't have to be cheated completely. Well, but you know, your boyfriend, I got to say something else. But, you know,
To me, it's just one of those things where I feel like they are getting ready to put, the fix is already in. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, how do you get around that? It's like, well, if they're trying to take away Trump from potentially being the contender for the 2024 campaign,
yeah,
for the Republican Party, then why not just leave the party and go off on your own? And I know that people, you know, the argument that I get, it's like, well, he's going to be splitting the Republican voter. But here's the thing. Is he, though? Like, cool. Trump supporters are going to follow Trump. Where they don't vote for Trump because he's a Republican.
No.
They vote for Trump because he's Trump. So wouldn't Trump supporters, like, even if they're voting Republican all the way down the ticket and then voting America first for Trump, they're going to follow. Trump can run.
There's a lot of people that actually didn't show up to the 2022 MAGA people that didn't show up in Georgia and other places because simply Trump was not on the ticket. And it's, I think what Reyna said, right? People who don't follow politics only know Trump's name. And that is exactly why Roger Stone tapped Trump many years ago before he even decided to run. Roger Stone, we've had him on the show before. The show was on Rumble. He is probably the longest and smartest political operative that is still alive. I mean, this guy's been around since Nixon. And Stone said, you know, someone like Trump has the household name. So you are absolutely right in the sense that people who don't follow politics know him as the guy from The Apprentice, as the, you know, very lavish billionaire lifestyle dude from New York and all around the world. I mean, that Trump is a household name. So I just don't see how they're going to try to, you know, I mean, they could finesse it like they have.
Perla's comment is exactly what I've been telling Linda, which is that she writes, also, a lot of Americans would vote for Trump because they associate a better time and more favorable economy under Trump, not because they have all of a sudden turned conservative.
Right.
You're absolutely right. We're going to have plenty of Democrats and Libertarians and MPAs that are going to vote for Donald Trump, not because they believe in conservative values or because they're pro-life or because they're pro-Second Amendment, but because their personal circumstances were so much better under Donald Trump that they will associate that winning period in their life with a Donald Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it doesn't matter what party affiliation Trump runs under, he's going to get the vote from the people that support him.
There's zero way that Vivek or whatever will get the nomination. Nobody knows who he is. Literally, probably 1% of the entire country, maybe 10% of the GOP, cares and knows who that guy is. I just heard him today for the first time on Twitter because there was a threat going around saying that he should be president. First of all, I'm not really comfortable. This is going to sound wrong. This is going to sound really wrong. You know, kind of like when I think in Spanish, Bella, and then it just comes off as really, really wrong. This is going to sound wrong. I don't know if I want to say
Linda?
I don't know if I want to say this, but I'm not voting for a dude that is not American. I mean, I'm sorry. He's just not. Like, I'm sorry.
We already did that once.
He doesn't represent the majority of America. And that's it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Francis Suarez is also going to try to get a bid for president. He's actually been campaigning.
Bro, that's going to be a fun troll time for us. That's going to be a fun time.
That's going to be a fun time. Hey, listen, I like the mayor sometimes.
Yeah, you know? I'm not going to knock Francis. He's not the worst.
He's not the worst. He's not the best, but he's not the worst. You know, going back to what Perla said, I actually have friends and people that I know who didn't like Trump. Right. And that's what they talk about. And this week, Anthony Cavazza sent us a reel, right? Was it a video, a reel from one of these Mexican accounts, like So Mexican or Oso Mexican? Mm-hmm. And it's an old video of Trump in the White House when he was president. He's putting on this cowboy hat and he had a cowboy convention or something in the White House. And so all the comments, like 90% of the comments, these type of accounts used to be accounts that they hated Trump. He called us rapists. He said we were this. He said we were that. And now 90% of the comments are, I miss him. There was a girl in Spanish. I took all these screenshots. Every single time I look at my wallet, I miss Mr. Trump. Trompazo, Trompitas. They have all these Spanish nicknames. Trompitas is one of them. El Señor Trump, El Señor. And there's so many of those people who are saying, hey, he really wasn't that bad. Like, if really he was a fascist dictator, do you really think he would have been removed? Do you really think that? And I don't see how people don't don't understand that, especially for these conservatives, the influencers. I'm talking about influencers. I'm talking about the pundits. The average person does not care about the whole vaccine conversation that these people think the 2024 election is going to be surrounded around, right? Like, nobody voted for Trump or Biden or anybody. Maybe Biden supporters did during the pandemic, but the reality is that no one sits there and say, I'm going to vote for DeSantis or Trump just based on the fact that he did or didn't promote the vaccine. That is not a platform. That has never been a platform. Okay, people only remember that the 401ks were better under Trump, mm-hmm. that their paychecks went a lot longer, that their groceries were cheaper, that their gas was cheaper, and that they were safer. Okay, they weren't worried about the train derailment. They weren't worried everything. What they worried about, especially the libs that get themselves be brainwashed, they were literally worried about fake problems created by the media that never manifested mm-hmm. into real life scenarios, whether it was the racism, whether it was the white supremacy, whether it was whatever it was. You knew that Trump had control of the borders. I saw so many liberals last week when the whole balloon situation was going on TikTok. Even the ones I hate him, like, this would have never happened. This balloon would have never been here. So this thing from the conservative elitists that say that he's hated by everyone. It's just simply not true. It's just not true.
Well, he wasn't hated. And I think that 2019 was a real testimony to that, when we saw so many people that considered themselves to be liberals start finding out that it's like, wait, the media's not telling me all the things that I should know about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And then as you start finding out these things, you're like, wait a minute, this guy's kind of based. Like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is awesome. Somebody just said, I want the president that's going to abolish the Federal Reserve. Well, shit, the first time I heard that Trump was saying that we needed to abolish the Federal Reserve, I'm like, look at this guy. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that the average person, they've just built up that hate towards him so much that it's irrational. And anybody who's not operating off feelings and just a little bit of logic can take a step back and be like, all right, so the guy maybe, you know, mean tweets and, you know, he says things that are outlandish, but really what was so horrible about his presidency? What wasn't he doing for the American for the American people? Gas was cheaper, the economy was better, I was doing better. And again, I just think that people will start associating that better time of their life with a Donald Trump presidency. And when they go out to the voting booth on November 3rd, 2024, they are not going to care if there's an R or a D or a ZW or a he, she, whatever, next to Donald Trump's name. They are going to vote for Donald Trump.
I think Reyna said something like she lives in the hood and people didn't vote for him are wearing Trump beanies. Today, my friend Leo, he lives in Miami Beach. And Miami Beach, as you guys know, is run by Democrats and also very, very blue. We did see some change with the red this time around for Miami-Dade, but mostly blue. And he sent me a picture this morning, like at 9 a.m. Someone had already has a Trump 2024 flag right outside of their apartment building. And, you know, this is one of those neighborhoods where you'll see the gay flags, you see the trans flags, and it's just there, you know, and people are just remembering what we used to have. So I don't see, of course, there's always the voting discrepancies. You can only say that here. Mm-hmm. But we don't know for sure if DeSantis has the whole country. What is really worrisome about the DeSantis situation is, aside from everything else that we've told you guys a little bit here on the show, is the demonization of Trump supporters. I've never been more attacked by conservatives since November 2022. Okay? Yeah. The name calling, the shaming, the dragging online. Today, some disgusting women called me a Trump junkie. Like, and this one has a love and light on her profile.
Oh, they always do.
They always do.
Or love, or light, the Bible
peace,
quote.
Yoga, the Bible quote. And it's come to the point where it's right wing TDS, because no one mentions this man. No one. I'm in a comment section. We're talking about something that has nothing to do with this man. I mean, the name is not even there. And they just go to my profile, they see a picture with Trump, and then all of a sudden, they start calling me names. Or you're just a Trump junkie. I'm like, okay, every single Trump supporter is also a DeSantis supporter. Because I voted for DeSantis when Trump told me to vote for him. Okay. So you trying to demonize us that we're part of your same team as a Trump cultist, as a junkie,
best part
is disgusting.
Like, good luck with that strategy. You're alienating the very people that you need to vote for Ron DeSantis. Good luck alienating the America First patriots that truly believe in what Trump did and for our country, and telling them that they're bad, stupid,
cultist, racist,
extremist. I mean, you guys kind of sound like somebody that I know from 2020.
Yeah.
You're sounding a lot like that group of people from 2020.
Absolutely. Big shout out to Big Clips. He says, people are forgetting that Trump didn't just run against Dems, but the entire establishment on both sides. GOP and its donors want things to go back to pre-Trump 2016, where it's red. Absolutely. That is it. You know, Donald Trump is the closest thing that we've ever had to an independent president. But he knew exactly that he needed to be under a Republican ticket to be able to get that vote. And I don't think we'll ever see anything like it. We may see a split in the party. And like Bella said, perhaps a DeSantis, Biden. I don't think it's going to be Biden. I think it'll be Newsom.
Well, I mean, he's running. So, I mean, he's the president. So he's going to be an incumbent, right?
Right. But if he runs.
I guess he has hinted to the fact that he might not run.
Yes. But they're saying that they're trying to position him in a way where Newsom will take the win. That's just what I heard from Twitter. From the Twitter Dems. You guys know that I like to go on my little
Dios
Twitter escapades.
Maria.
You know, but at least Newsom is younger. He's good looking. He has a family. He appeals to the crazies.
I agree with you.
He's well spoken.
And here's the thing with that argument that Linda's making right now, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like the worst part about the Joe Biden occupation is the lack of respect these motherfuckers have for us. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't even give us somebody that was good at playing the part of president. Like a Newsom, you know, kind of looks the part, can finish a sentence. No, the disrespect was so much that they gave us a corpse cabbage, propped him up in front of a teleprompter that he cannot read, and told us, that's your president. And that's the disrespect for me. It's not even that we're living under an occupation. It's that the mockery of forcing us to live under an occupation with that as our elected, selected official.
Project Shaney has an amazing point, and it's so true. So shout out to Shaney. She's always supporting us. Trump won without Fox News originally. Some of y'all got short-term spans. I would even say, I can't see the comment. It's going up. Hold on one second. I would even say that
the ousted ex-Bernie Bros
tipped the scale for Trump, and that is very true. So 1 in 10 or 1 in 12 Bernie Bros actually ended up voting for Trump. Right. These are people that are mostly populist. They lean left. They're anti-establishment. These are the people that I've told you about that are part of the Occupy Wall Street people and apes or whatever you want to call them. And they will not vote for an establishment Democrat. And so once the DNC took that from Bernie, they said, OK, F you, I'm going for Trump. So I think we'll probably see a similar situation, especially now, like I said earlier, we are literally seeing live on Twitter and other apps how liberals are even noticing the push for DeSantis to elevate him as the candidate. We saw two articles this week back to back
from the
Newsmax. Or the New York Post, right?
Yeah.
And also...
Newsmax did one too.
Right. And even Washington Post. Mm-hmm. So all of these liberal outlets, CNN as well, who traditionally have hated Governor DeSantis, have said that he's anti-gay, anti-this, anti-black, a racist, are now elevating DeSantis to a status that it's just weird. Like, the whole situation is weird. And then when you go back to see who owns these newspapers, who donates to them, who funds them, a lot of the times you'll find out that they're also DeSantis voters.
Right? Shocking to anyone.
I love that
Janet writes in the comments, she's like, ex-Bernie bro here, California for Trump.
There you go.
Because you know what it is? What they're trying
a lot of people think like the inconsistencies of election and they automatically jump to the day of and machines and ballots and whatever. Okay, fine. Let's have another conversation. These people work the primaries like you have no idea.
Yeah.
By by splitting the vote, inflating numbers on one side to the other, contributions to one candidate to give them an unfair advantage, giving one candidate press over another to create more hoopla around that candidate. The you guys really want to talk about the fix being in? That happens during primaries. By the time that a candidate is already selected to represent the party, you're already stuck with the rhino or whoever it was that they were going to place in front of you. Primaries is where they make their moves. And I think that the Bernie bros, where because liberal media is, of course, more easily accessible, the Bernie bros felt that loss first when they saw the Democrats work all of these moves in order to cheat Bernie out of the pick that he should have been. Which is why so many of them wrote Harambe onto their ballots in 2016.
There was also 2020 votes, remember? Yeah, people were like pissed off about that.
They did it twice to him. They did it to him in 2016 and they did it to him again in 2020. And here you have these people that already feel like outsiders because the people voting for Bernie don't necessarily feel represented by the Democratic Party either. So here are these individuals that already feel like outsiders. Now, seeing it for themselves that the system works against them. So when we conservatives say the system's working against us, they're not thinking, oh, you conservatives are wanting, they're like, yeah, the system doesn't work for any of us.
Well, I didn't put this there, but I told them I was going to talk about this. You know, you've seen my stories about the grift that is the Florida legislature. It's not just the governor. It's also the legislature. The governor does have an amazing, amazing public relations team that happens to grift and manipulate whatever he does into a much greater story than it actually is. Take what happened with Disney. They were supposed to get rid of the tax district for Disney. In fact, you and I were at that press conference in Hialeah with our entire little squad. I have the video where DeSantis says, and I even went back to listen to what he said because I have that recorded on my phone. I said, before I make an assumption, let me go hear what he had to say. And he said that he was going to be repealing this special districting. Now, that did not happen. What ended up happening was that behind closed doors, Disney executives or lobbyists, they meet with the Republicans, they meet with the DeSantis team, and they have already donated to DeSantis, right? So they renamed the district. Now, DeSantis gets to appoint the board of directors of this special district. And nothing that he said was going to happen is happening. Nothing. But they turn around and say that they did this great thing and he's fighting Disney. No, he's not. That is not what's happening. Okay? What happened was that Republicans have always been in bed with Disney because they're big donors to them. And they had to appease their donors. Right? But they also have to create the illusion that he is fighting for us or for the culture wars. Culture wars have been a very big thing for DeSantis along with the conservative elite. Obviously, we support a lot of it, especially when it comes to the transgender issues, the LGBT indoctrination, the critical race theory. But the reality is that it is also a distraction from other things like the war. We know that DeSantis is very pro-war. We know that DeSantis is very pro-Ukraine. We know that when he was a legislator, he actually voted to send more aid to Ukraine. President Trump has been the peacemaker. Right? Everybody thought that he was going to go in and they were scared and he was going to nuke everybody. But he's making peace with everybody. So there's a lot of people who want that back in the world. There's a lot of left and right, anti-establishment, anti-military complex people who want to the war to end completely. Mm-hmm. We've had over 250 American volunteers die in Ukraine, probably more. Probably bodies that we haven't seen from bombs and blasts and whatnot, plus thousands of Ukrainian soldiers who have been caught in this stupid war, whose bodies are now God knows where, right? And obviously the Russians are suffering too, but Ukraine is our ally, so we talk about that. And so I think that's going to be a really big platform for Trump coming up, saying, hey, guys, the minute that I walked away, we started having all these issues. You also have Tucker Carlson and Fox News salivating at the mouth, promoting a war with China. Right. We don't know if any of those balloons or any of that situation was artificially created or it was actually organic. It
seems a little too obvious for me.
It seems a little bit too obvious. So, but they do want to push us into a war with China. You guys know that with the whole Taiwan situation. And if Trump was president, as cliche as it sounds, none of this stuff would be happening because he did have these dictators and these heads of states in control. Right. In control. Out of South America is now communist. Right. Starting with my home country. Brazil just lost Bolsonaro. Mm-hmm. Lula is in charge. And for some reason, Lula last week had to say that anybody who doesn't want to get vaccinated is going to have no rights in Brazil. OK, this is allegedly a win for democracy. They got rid of Bolsonaro because he was a fascist taking over rights. Right. Now you bring in Lula, who was really a criminal. And this man is talking about removing your rights for the vaccine.
We also had a great episode, you guys, for you to check out on Rumble that we did with a journalist, Paul Saran out of Brazil. And you can find that on our Rumble channel where we post more of our fiery content.
More fiery content.
Or more fiery content. Let's go. Should we go?
Let me say one thing about the vaccine. The bill that we're going to work on. So the Florida legislature, if you're in Florida, I need you to pay attention to this. If you're not in Florida, I also need you to pay attention to this. So right now, the Florida legislature is meeting for their special session. And if you guys remember, Governor DeSantis and the legislature allegedly banned vaccine passports from the state of Florida with SB 2006. That was back in November of 2021, right? What that created was actually a medical discrimination for people, and I posted about it this week with examples of Miamians and Floridians who have faced medical discrimination here in Florida, allegedly the freest state
this
in
the
nation.
This is the problem with deceptive legislation, which is that with SB 2006, the perception is it's got a real cool name to it. Mm-hmm. We're going to ban vaccine passports, and it is celebrated countrywide. All of conservative media, conservative influence, everybody amplifying this great move by Governor Ron DeSantis to sign into legislation the banning of vaccine mandates. Mm-hmm. However, vaccine mandates were never legal in Florida. Let's start right there. So the banning of them is almost premature. Now, the problem with the deceptive legislation is that you got to really look into it to understand the precedents that's actually being set. This legislation doesn't ban vaccine passports just because. What it does is that it creates an exemption for you where if you don't want to get it, you don't have to. However, your employer can require weekly testing from you.
Or daily. They could do the daily testing.
I think the legislation specifically states weekly.
Masking.
As a mask. And permanent masking while you're at work. So while the legislation seems like it did this really base things of, you know, we're not going to have vaccine passports in Florida. How many states actually do have vaccine passports? Let's start right there. While the legislation says that, when you dig in deeper, what it's done is that now it's written into legislation. Here are the ways how it's okay to discriminate against the anti-vax. Now your employer can require you, well, if you don't want to get it, you don't have to, no problem, but you got to wear a mask. Secondly, what it's also done is that it's now set the precedent where now you have to give your employer personal identifying health information about yourself. This was never legal. Your employer couldn't ask you if you had AIDS.
Yeah, the only time where this was already happening pre-COVID was in healthcare when nurses or doctors or anybody in the medical industry refused a flu pharmaceutical juice. And then they said, okay, no problem. So throughout the entire flu season, you have to wear a mask. And by the way, if you look up some of these cases, there's been... one case is by nurses who have sued the hospitals for medical discrimination and won. Because what it actually does, it puts a scarlet letter on you, right? And nobody else is walking around with a mask. You're walking around with a mask and everyone's like, haha, that's the unvaccinated nurse that doesn't care about any of us. I had a follower that DM'd me this week and she said that here at Baptist Hospital in Miami, she was forced to eat in the car. Masked the entire time and then forced to eat in the car her lunch because they were discriminated against her.
I know that Jackson Hospital here in Miami-Dade, these are people who refused to take the flu shot. This was prior to 2020. If there was no option to wear a mask, you could choose not to take it, but you weren't put on the schedule during flu season.
There you go.
So you didn't work. You can choose not to take it, but then we can't put you on the schedule for these upcoming days. Guys, don't forget to share. Please like, subscribe if you haven't already. 100% self-funded, no Illuminati, no lizard people. We only depend on you guys to get us through, grow our channel. Go ahead.
So sorry, because I just want to finish this thing. So anyway, so what we're going to do, and I'm working on this project with Stanford Health Freedom here in Florida, is to fix that piece of legislation. The new piece of legislation is going to be a civil rights medical freedom bill. I forgot the name right now. But basically what that is going to do, there we go, SB 222, Historic Civil Rights Bill, Protection of Medical Freedom. So here's how this bill will protect you. So in the Civil Rights Act of Florida, it's going to act vaccination and immunity status, which creates a protected class. Employers cannot discriminate based on your vaccination or immunity status. Cementing into law no vaccine passport, which protects you from the social credit system, protects you from crossing the state line or being handed over to the federal government. So I will be talking about this a lot more on Wake Up with Linda and getting help from you guys to contact our legislators. We need to be blowing up their phones. We need to be emailing these people. We need to get the Florida legislators and Governor DeSantis to sign this bill into law by March 7th. Okay, I want to make sure that you guys know that. But before we finish the show, we do have one more thing to discuss with you guys. If you have seen my story today, I was talking about PR. I was talking about narratives and how some of these narratives are planted in the conservative space. And most people don't realize that they are, like the TikTok situation, which is that TikTok is a Chinese spyware. Nobody can actually find, the evidence of that. But it's just a narrative that was inserted there from a PR company. And now we have a story that I just found yesterday. If you guys remember Nick Fuentes, he's allegedly a white supremacy, allegedly a white nationalist. And now he's working for Kanye West, or Ye, formerly known as Kanye West, as one of his 2024 campaign associates. And Nick Fuentes, somebody leaked a campaign from an agency called Influence, right? So Influence does, it's a PR agency, it's a digital agency that contacts influencers, mostly in the political or any type of influencer, and gives them a job, a paid campaign. And that paid campaign has a certain narrative to drive. Angel, can you please put that first screen, the one that says Fed Fuentes? No, not that one. There's another one. Yes, that one. So I don't know if it's there yet.
Yeah, it's already on the screen.
It's already on the screen. So this is basically what was passed around online, or I guess somebody was approached and they decided to leak this to the internet. It comes from a company called Influence, and they're basically paying influencers to drive the narrative that Nick Fuentes is a Fed. Because that is the easiest way to discredit someone
in our movement who has power. So what do? You start this campaign so that you don't need to do the attacks on Fuentes. You turn his own audience
against
him by planting the fake story that he's a Fed. Mm-hmm. Now, have we seen this before?
Well, we've seen this before.
Does this sound familiar to you guys? Everyone is controlled up. Everyone is a Fed. Everyone's a honeypot. Everyone's a Mossad agent. Did it ever possibly occur to people that maybe, just maybe, those narratives are being driven so that they can discredit any person that's making strides, challenging the narrative, making moves. This is what they do. Linda and I have been on the other side of these PR campaigns.
Yeah.
When she sent me this, I was shook because I told her.
I was like, you'll never believe this. I'm like, you'll never believe what I found.
It's one thing to experience it and say it out loud. And you almost feel crazy. You're like, dude, like, there's an operation being ran against us. And you're like, oh, you know, kind of like blow it off for a while. It takes a while to accept that that's what's going on. But it's a completely different thing to see the strategy written out on paper in black and white. They have hashtags, narratives, conversations, talking points. So when you end up on these comment feeds where you're starting to hear the same thing about people over and over, how often are these narratives being planted about the very people on our side actually doing something to change the way that the world is set up right now, to turn things in favor of conservatives? I think Linda's going to read a couple of lines from the document.
It basically says that the campaign is from February 15th, so I guess it started yesterday, till the 20th, and it's disassociate from the far right. Fed Fuentes, Nick Fuentes has all the signs of being a Fed-controlled opposition. Boom, there you go. You heard that. And then it goes into exactly the key messaging points or what they want these influencers, media pundits, or whoever they hire to talk about the campaign execution. It gives you a background of who he is, his involvement in January 6th, and when the feds allegedly took away his money. They're trying to say that he was actually banned from airlines or put on a no-fly list, not because of the, you know, the feds targeting him politically, but because he threatened a flight attendant that he was going to choke her or something like that. So I'm just, you know, reiterating what I was talking about on my story today, right? If you hear a narrative over and over and over again, you need to start identifying that most of the times these are planted by PR agencies. If you go down the list of donors and how they spend, let's say that you choose Marco Rubio or DeSantis, mostly for DeSantis, we found that there's so many PR media companies that are being paid by DeSantis. You guys saw I exposed Project Veritas, what's his name? The Babylon Bee, chief of the Babylon Bee, Seth Dillon, as being under DeSantis' payroll. And people are like, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Who cares? Okay, first of all, if I told you that The Onion was writing speeches for Biden or jokes for Biden, are you going to think it's not a big deal? They're still a media company. Now, even if they are satire, they are still a media company who are now under the payroll of Governor DeSantis. And we don't know what they're actually being paid for. Seth told me that they were being paid to write jokes for speeches, but you and I will never be able to know what it is because it's a service. I can't quantify this. It's not like if I go audit your liquor store and I said, here's an invoice of you buying 400 cases of Don Julio tequila. I need to be able to account for those tequilas. Where are they, right? You should have a POS system. It's not like that. It's a service. Right. So we'll never know exactly what that was for, but it is definitely shady. And just stay woke with these narratives. Stay woke.
Stay woke and stay ahead woke of them, too, because you got to start putting yourself into a mentality where everyone is not honest. And then the worst part is that there may be honest people that are getting their information from people that they're wrongfully trusting.
Yeah.
So the source is irrelevant because the source might have bad information that's been purposely fed to them. There's nothing, there's no conclusion that you should come to quickly. Everything should require a deep, extensive research and not just research, because you might see the same comment being, you know, by five different influencers that you follow being spread. You have to actually discern for yourself. Does this logically make sense? What are they actually accusing him of? Is this just a narrative? And also identify the coattail signs that when a narrative pops up out of nowhere, it's usually not by mistake. There's usually a coordination that takes place for that. It's a scary world out there, fam. It's
a scary world.
It's a very scary world out
there. All right, guys, we've been going for like an hour and a half, right? Angel 77 Minutes. We just want to give once again a shout out to Century H2O. That is one of the Patreon businesses that supports Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I told you guys, 10-step water system so you do not turn into a gay frog and you do not have a calcified pineal gland. If you need a water filtration system, look into Century. Very easy to install. 15 to 20 minute installation process removes all of the nasty toxins from the water. Now that we're going to have the abortion pill being sold at Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid, you're going to have these little human remains go down your toilet, go into your water system. Think of all the people that put pills in the water sewage system as well. You don't want to drink that. So if you don't have a water filtration system, go check out centuryh2o.com and use our promo code MPL10 for 10% off, and it's $279.99. And if you guys have any questions at all, we'll be here for
a couple more minutes. Drop us. I think we have our last one. We had a question come in from Erica Mejia. She writes, "Hi, ladies. So glad that I was able to catch your show tonight. First of all, thank you, Erica, so much for the contribution to the channel. We really appreciate it. Did you guys see the Nonstop Kentucky Prayer Revival that is going viral? It's going on. It's been going on for days. It's beautiful and it's very uplifting. If you guys have not watched the footage of the Kentucky Revival, it is bone chilling. It is one.
I've not seen it.
Dude. Oh my God! It's I believe it's happening in a college campus. Erica, let me know if you can correct me, but I believe that it's happening like amongst college kids, and there's this revival going on. And they've basically spent the last 4 days in full worship and full deliverance to Christ. I get chills just talking about it. If you guys have not seen the footage, I strongly encourage you to find it because it's such uplifting content in these times that we're in. And particularly when we started off the podcast talking about what a black pill doomer pilled social media has become, whether you're on Instagram or on Twitter or whatnot, amongst all that nasty news, to see this beautiful revival taking place and to witness that in our time, it really is the wholesome content that I think we all need to clean our palates, yeah, of the clown
don't,
world
don't be
will.
Doom and gloom all the time. You're gonna get blackpilled. Someone said oh my God, the Rihanna situation. I saw that and we were gonna bring it up and we just completely forgot, but conservatives are once again another day of conservatives just crying about celebrities. I wouldn't know what happens to celebrities if it wasn't for conservatives
crying about it.
I know more about what happens in Hollywood, the Kardashians, from conservative Twitter, from conservative Instagram, than any other, you know, left-wing person. Not even my Democrat friends talk so much about celebrities as the right does. And today, I guess Rihanna released her new magazine cover for Vogue, right? With her boyfriend A$AP Rocky and their new baby. And obviously she's pregnant. And so she is the center of attention. And it obviously looks like she is the leader. She's leading her men and her men is holding the baby. So I understand kind of like where they're coming from. But at the same time, hello, she is the star. The article is about her. It's not about her family. It's not about A$AP Rocky. It's about her. So conservatives have spent the last 5 to 6 hours crying about it, talking about, oh, this is what happens to men. They get emasculated, this stuff. It's like, you guys are just so annoying and insufferable all the time. Like, same thing for the Super Bowl. They had a problem. I mean, we thought the performance sucked. She wasn't great. Obviously, she has a great voice. I've always liked her, but she's not a good performer. And it was a pretty boring Super Bowl performance. But at the same time, she wasn't showing her titties and ass and being degenerate. And I guess at one point, I guess she grabbed her crotch and smelled it or did something kind of nasty.
Ew.
She did something like that. I didn't catch that part. Ew. But of course, everybody was all up in arms about it. And it's just like, you guys already know how the Super Bowl is. We saw Janet Jackson's titty a few years ago with Justin Timberlake. We've seen all these things. So either shut the fuck up or tune out of the Super Bowl or just pause it because of your children, you know? And then they're like, oh, well, we want to demand. What makes you think that because you demand the NFL, who's super woke, you guys know that, because you guys cry on Twitter, all of a sudden they're going to just put who, like Luke, whatever his name is, like a Christian band or something? The era of Whitney Houston, the era of Michael Jackson, unfortunately, they're dead. And
actually,
that's not going
to
happen.
Rihanna's the closest you're going to get to that, because I don't think Rihanna's covered by any record label. She didn't do anything overly satanic.
Exactly.
You know, that you...
Oh, well, they were crying about the red, and they were crying about her throwing up the
you
the
called
rock,
it. You
the
called
rock. No, I called it. I literally predicted it. I'm
Linda,
like,
put your hands
like,
down.
I literally predicted it. I literally predicted it. I'm like, she's gonna go like this, and they're gonna fucking lose their shit.
Oh, fuck.
And they're gonna
that's
cry.
Where they're gonna get. That's where the cutards are gonna get the still frame from, and that's what they're gonna use to say that we're Illuminati, bro.
Last Thursday, when I was in this Saul's Valuetainment podcast, I told Bella, I was like trolling her, and I was like, I sat like this for so long, just hoping that one of my enemies would catch me. Like, I purposely
right, but you
did
see,
it.
You're
I
doing it wrong now it. Because right there, you're holding the triangle backwards. And any good cutard knows that that is the sign of defiance to the Illuminati.
Well,
what you can't do is what
do
you were
again.
Doing earlier. I'm not going to do it because you're going to catch
it,
me slipping.
I'm going to do it.
I've got,
I don't give a fuck
I've got
about
these throw pillows at home on my bed, and they've got these like little triangles on them. And the way that they're set up is that you have the zippers at the bottom. So I had it. But what I do is that I'm so paranoid because, again, you know, schizophrenia of the conspiracy theories, that I turn the pillows backwards so that the triangles are facing down, because we ain't going to have no forward facing triangles up in my house.
Dude, it's actually a pretty comfortable pose, like when you're sitting, you know, or when you're like having a speech, not necessarily like this, but when you're like this, like the Andrew Tate. No, seriously, when you're doing a speech, a lot of times you just I've done
well,
it.
When
like,
you're public speaking,
unconsciously, you just go like that. But you know, we live around retards around here, and that's just what it is. Trump does the upside down triangle. Yeah, most people do. Like if you ever do a public speaking event, you'll see that a lot of times it comes naturally. Comes naturally
when you're trying to articulate a point, I guess.
Yeah.
when you're trying to be cool, and when you're not Latina, because when you're Latina you ain't doing none of this.
Yeah,
you're doing a lot of this.
Yeah,
a lot of this. All right, guys, any other questions in the chat? Going once, going twice.
No. Yes, I was in Valuetainment. You can go catch me on the SOS Talk podcast last Thursday. Forgot the name right now, but I did post a clip on my story. Pretty interesting people that they bring on that show. They invited me today, but I was not able to go today. But they do talk a lot about like the Andrew Tate content and what's wrong with both men and women, both genders in society. We had a crazy like tantra people. It was so... She was so insane. She
damn,
was so
I was just wondering where Shuda was at.
Oh my gosh, Shuda!
I was just wondering.
We thought you left us forever,
on
Shuda.
On my life,
swear.
That we were going to finish this episode, and I was going to turn around and ask Linda, yo, where's Shuda at, bro? Our boy hasn't been around in forever. Shuda, thank you for coming through. I hope all is well and sending you much love. We
for
hope
real.
That you are well, successful, glowing, you know,
305
catching flights,
Shuda, man.
Not feelings.
Damn, I miss him. Well, you got to come back to the show. But all right, guys, we got to disconnect now. We've been going on for 86 minutes. Wow, that
Wait,
was long.
There was a guy with three girlfriends on the show?
Yes, four girlfriends on the show. Four.
All right.
Not three.
Well,
four.
We
want to have that guy. He used to be an ex. He used to be a porn star, and now he actually speaks against it. And he said, you know, when I'm back, I think he's going to be back in March. He's in Dubai right now. He actually hangs out with the Tate brothers, I found. And I, you know, it's true. I went to stalk him, and it's all true. We'll have Sterling on the show, and you guys can ask him questions. He's an ex-porn star, pretty interesting guy. Shuda, glowing, but not like a fed.
On that note, guys, thanks so much for joining us. Please like and subscribe if you liked our content. We strongly depend on you guys to grow, and we will see you next time.